HR should be looking at themselves as the sole source of people expertise in any organization.
Welcome to We're Only Human, a podcast focused on blending research and practical advice to help today's HR, talent, and learning leaders improve business outcomes. Let's welcome your host, Ben Eubanks.
Hi there, this is Ben Eubanks, host of We're Only Human. Thank you for joining me today. Today, I'm the host of We're Only Human, but I also seem like I am the world traveler. It's been a very busy few months since the HR Technology Conference that kind of kicked it off for the fall, and it has been a steady cascade of travel and events and speaking and all of those good things, things I love, things I enjoy, but that makes it really difficult to stay on top of some other things like the podcast. That doesn't mean that good conversations aren't happening, just that it's hard to get them scheduled, up and running. If you saw my inbox, you'd know exactly what I'm talking about. So, things that are happening on their agenda. The book is up and coming. Pre-sales are open. You can find out more at aihrbook.com, aihrbook.com. In addition, I'm also working on some new interviews, really interesting conversations with a variety of talent leaders, vendors, other industry analysts and researchers in the space, just so much good stuff going on there, and I can't wait to deliver some of those conversations for you. In addition, we're working on some new research as well. Excited to unveil that when the time is right, but just know that as the end of the year comes in and travel season starts to wind down, that means that research season heats up for me. I'm looking into the new year to see what some of the new trends and things are that are coming in 2019, as well as some of the things that I can help you guys stay in front of as talent leaders yourselves. So it's a really fun part of the year. Again, I'm excited, winded, tired, but at the same time, just thrilled about what is coming and what's happening. I've had, goodness, I've talked to probably in front of more than 1,000 HR leaders in the last month, and that number is going to steadily climb again in the next few weeks, just continue on the speaking circuit. So it's been a very awesome fall. Now, today's conversation is not just about me and travel and all that stuff. I actually had the chance to interview a really sharp HR leader last week. Her name is Cherie Aspelin. Cherie is an HR leader. She got up and she shared her story, and she honestly rocked it at the event that I saw her at. And so I had to grab her and pull her aside and have a short conversation for the podcast because I thought it was very interesting, very applicable, and one of those things that I needed as well, just to kind of kick myself back into gear and a good way to start the podcast back off. So it's a really short conversation today, less than 15 minutes, but at the same time, some good takeaways, some good reminders, and some of those things that might inspire you, encourage you. And the thing that I would ask is if it's helpful, it's inspiring, it's encouraging for you, please share this episode with someone else that you think could really use it, could really help help them as well. Talk to a friend, an HR leader in the local Huntsville area where I live, Huntsville, Alabama. And a couple weeks ago, she travels an hour and a half commute every day to work and an hour and a half on the way home. And I said, what do you do in the car? She said, well, you know, I listen to Howard Stern or music or whatever else. And I said, man, in the mornings on the way to work, you need to listen to something encouraging, something positive, something engaging. Hopefully this podcast fits that bill. And at the end of the day, when you know, have burned out all your energy and everything else, you can listen to whatever you want to, right? It doesn't matter then because you're not going to be able to focus as much and everything else. But in the morning, let's hit the day the right way. The morning is the rudder of the day, as I like to say. So really excited to share Cherie's conversation with you. I'll stop talking and I'll get right into that. I just want to say thank you, as always, for supporting the show. I appreciate it. We're Only Human is a couple years old now. We've got a lot of episodes down already on paper or on recorded, whatever you like to call it. A lot of episodes to come. And it's one of my favorite things to get to do. I tell everybody all the time, it's one of the things that I truly love to do because it's like a combination of live research and entertainment and getting the nerd out and geek out with so many smart, smart people. And it is a dream come true. So thank you for making that possible. I appreciate you. Have a good day. Enjoy yourself with this conversation with Cherie. Hey there, this is Ben Eubanks, host of We're Only Human. I am so glad to be here today. I have a phenomenal guest. Can't wait to introduce her. Have lots of good things to say about her, and she's going to bring us some really interesting conversation. Setting the bar really high, obviously, right off the bat. So today, I'm going to tell you three things that I know about her. Number one, her name, Cherie Aspelin, is the Global Culture Change Program Manager at Lubrizol. She's from Cleveland, or she lives in Cleveland at least now. She's spunky. She she brought some really interesting conversation to this event that we were at yesterday. She stepped on some toes, I would say, kicks people in the rear end. And so I'm excited to have her on. Sheree, welcome.
Thank you. Spunky, huh? I like it. Yeah, I'll absolutely. Take that. I'll wear that as a badge of honor.
Absolutely. Well, there's worse things to be called in HR.
I have been. Yep.
We've been called those things. Uh-huh. The reason I want to talk to you, again, lots of speakers here at this event, but the reason that you kind of piqued my interest a little bit is not because you said yes when I asked about the podcast, but because, again, I think the message you shared yesterday, it wasn't about the technology we need to use. It wasn't about, like, even really about a specific practice or a process. It was about your kind of overview of how we should be looking at HR and our big picture view of the world. Can you give us kind of your view of how HR should be looking at the business and supporting the business?
I think HR should be looking at themselves as the sole source of people expertise in any organization. You know, you don't go to your IT department thinking that they're going to tell you how to formulate your products. You go to your IT department and you stand there and look at them as experts to say, how does this thing work? Help me to be more efficient. And IT stands up and accepts that as their responsibility. And I think sometimes as HR, maybe we're wanting to be people pleasers, maybe we're not confident. There's myriad of reasons. But we abdicate our people expertise and leave it into the hands of a manager. And they're just grasping for straws. They're not trying to usurp us. They just really need some help. And when we just stand there, mouths open, with drool coming out the side, because we are afraid to tell them what they really need to hear, they go find their own solutions and they tell us what to do. We want to preserve our jobs, so we do what the manager asks us to do. And it creates this loop of nothing better happening on the people end of things. And so for me, it's just like, HR, buck up. Nobody knows more about people than you do. So stand in that and act that way.
Own it.
Yeah, right? Own it. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things that you got me with yesterday is we often treat the symptoms of the problem. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, the employees are leaving. Well, we need to treat this symptom of that or whatever else instead of focusing on the actual root problem. Why do you think that is?
I think it's easy. You know, you feel like you need to take action quickly. So let me just throw some cash at it. Let's go get an e-learning, let's do a team building. I think there's a sense of urgency, and it's such a mystery box to managers of, oh my gosh, this is a human. What do you do with a human? I know what to do with a product or a service, or I don't know what to do with a human. And this is, again, as a place where we have to assert ourselves, and just in the same way that a physician would truly diagnose, a good doctor wouldn't just start, prescribing pills. You can do that. You'll keep a client base coming to you of patients, but nobody gets healed. And I think really our place is to act as people physicians to really understand and diagnose what's going on. And you got to have a really good relationship with a business manager in order to gain that trust and that window of time to pause things just for a minute to be able to insert yourself in that way.
Talk about that trust piece. I'd love to hear how you do that with some of your own leaders.
I talk a big game that I'm going to hold your training program hostage or, whatever it is. I'm not giving you that because that's, I'm not prescribing pills. There are some places where you give up a little to get your foot in the door to build relationship. And I think a lot of that building relationship and building trust comes from having a way of speaking that business leader's language. They don't care about compensation surveys or synergies or whatever kind of weird words, HR words that we use. I need to make money. Mm-hmm. I need to make money, and I need to make money. And that's really the reason most of our organizations exist. So how do you get tuned into that type of language? I think that's the thing that starts to build trust. That's the holy grail of this manager. I need to make money. I have people as the tool to do it. Help me get these people to make money.
Absolutely. Well, it's funny because you wouldn't go up to someone that was, you wouldn't go to Mexico and try to talk to someone in English and assume they would understand what
right.
you're talking about.
Yeah.
But we do that to our managers every day. We mm-hmm. go to them and we start talking to them about engagement scores and other fuzzy stuff, the fuzzy
right.
math of HR, and they just kind of give you that sideways look like, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Did your mouth break? Is something, what's coming out? Because you're not talking about the things that they care about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually do a presentation on engagement. And I talk about, don't ever use the word engagement again unless you're talking about revenue, performance, quality, all these things that make
married.
Them.
Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? Well, another example that's been is, this is classic. You know, a business leader says, hey, we're having our staff meeting. I've got 5 minutes on the agenda for HR stuff.
Okay? HR stuff.
HR stuff. You know, HR person, what do you have on the HR stuff? And so how do we use that time? We go through the laundry list of when all the junk is due. Yeah. Compensation spreadsheets are due this day. You know, performance reviews are due this day. Be sure to, you know, get your employment engagement. And it's like, well, you could have just sent that in an email. I mean, so instead, how do you use that 5 minutes to say, maybe freak people out a little bit? Hey, staff, what's keeping you up at night about the performance of your team? Use that 5 minutes to make them uncomfortable and say, great, sounds like there's some things you're concerned about. I'm going to set time with each one of you to talk about that.
Don't waste it.
Yeah.
So many people want that opportunity, right? They're saying, I don't have a chance. I just need that chance, that opportunity. But when they get it, they waste it.
Yeah.
You know, they just let it kind of run through their fingers.
Yeah. Why would I invite you back for another 5 minutes if you just tell me that I'm past due on all these items?
Yeah. Oh, or hey, here's when the birthdays are for everybody, right? You know, our company picnic's coming up. Like, yeah, I get it. You know, that's important, but let's not spend our 5 minutes of fame,
right,
our 5 minutes of the spotlight,
right,
focusing on something that's very tactical, especially if we're trying to engage with the business and trying, mm-hmm, to show them that we have some credibility, we can bring some value, because talking about who's bringing what dessert to the potluck isn't the thing that they care about.
Right. Well, and it is also about, you're now marketing yourself as the party planner. And so, you know, I become what I tell people that I say that I am. And then they start to call me that, and then I become what they think I am. So it's just, it makes me sad. And I'm raising my hand to say, I go there too. You know, I'm not saying I'm not going to go to work on next week and say, you know, performance reviews are due on Wednesday. But I'm also going to say a bunch of other stuff and ask a lot of really hard and uncomfortable questions while,
yes,
I'm there too.
Well, that goes back to your point, though, earlier. It's about building that trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have discussions about things that you care about. So when I have something that I care about that needs to be, mm-hmm, I need to get some blood out of you, you know, we've already,
yeah,
built this trust. It's not me trying to cash in when there's no credit in the bank, or whatever,
right,
you want to call it.
Yeah.
Whatever analogy you want to use. I've used like 15 analogies now, butchered all of them, but it's about trying to find a way to, you're giving, you're taking, and if you're always taking, if you're always saying, hey, give me this is due, you're late, you're not doing this right, that doesn't build a good relationship with your spouse,
yeah,
with your people at work, with,
right,
anybody. No one wants to be told
why
all the time.
Why are we called the HR police? I mean, that's not, that wasn't just one HR person who flashed a badge. I mean,
yeah,
there's a reason behind the name. So,
for,
yeah,
sure. That's one of those things. I wrote a piece a year or so ago called The Crusty Old HR Lady is Alive and Well, because,
yeah,
we had dealt with some terrible things with my wife's employer and their HR person. I'm like, hey, like, we got a common language. We can fork this out. And she was completely and totally committed to making it the worst experience,
mm-hmm,
possible, it seemed like,
yeah,
for my wife. I'm like, ouch.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can preach it. We'll hopefully convert some of them,
right?
Or they'll die off like the dinosaurs, and we'll move on with the new evolution. Awesome. So, what's one piece of actionable advice? You gave a lot of advice yesterday. A lot of, again, step on toes, things like that, in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
What's one piece of advice you'd give to an HR leader right now? There's a couple thousand of them listening.
Mm-hmm.
That they could do to improve their impact in the organization, to improve that relationship, whatever piece you want to focus on, what's one thing you'd give them?
If at least once a day you're not getting a little sweaty about what you're about to go do or what you just did, and not just because I'm from Houston and we're always sweaty, but then you're probably not pushing the envelope enough.
Okay.
If it's comfortable and air-conditioned where you are and you're just, you know, shooting off some emails and you can wag a finger and say that people didn't turn in their stuff on time. I don't know what really value we're adding to the organization. People are difficult, expect the conversations to be difficult, and expect to engage at that level. And, yeah, every day get a little sweaty.
I don't think that's in any of the HR, you know, manuals, handbook, any of the textbooks.
Yeah, that won't be a best-selling book, Every Day Get Sweaty.
Yes. But I'm looking forward to your exercise tapes from Shuri. Get sweaty with Shuri on how to improve your HR.
You're going to be waiting a long time. I will not be putting out any exercise tapes, my friend.
I'm thinking of, like, there's like a math formula in the back of my head, you know, about, you know, the more uncomfortable it is, the more likely you are to have an impact, though.
Right.
The more comfortable it is, the less likely you are to actually, no one's going to remember you as the one that helped to revolutionize, change talent in,
right,
HR for that organization.
Yeah.
You're just not going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. If someone wants to connect with you, learn more, how can they do that best?
It's very easy. I am the only Sheree Aspelin on the planet. So I'm on LinkedIn. I actually have a website, SheereeAspelin.com. I have my day job at Lubrizol, but I love to connect with people in my free time outside of doing what I do there. And so I would love to have people reach out either through my website or LinkedIn.
Excellent. And for those of you that are thinking about speakers, I saw Sheree. She's super sharp. The audience loved her. And as someone that speaks a lot, I know that goes a long way. So well done. It was good to meet you. And I really, really enjoyed spending this time with you. I appreciate you saying yes.
Thanks, Ben.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to We're Only Human. Please take a moment to share this episode with another HR leader who might see it as a valuable resource in their daily work. For more information about the podcast and to see all our show archives, please visit upstarthr.com.